As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of power with Linnell Willingham, Toby Altizer here on B. Mitch and Finley. We'll take you up to 2 p.m. Keep it locked on the fan all afternoon long for your chance to win a pair of Caps tickets for game one. Make sure you keep it locked right here today, every hour at 20 minutes past the hour up until 5:20. We'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets. Next chance to win coming up in about 16 minutes at 1:20. I want to get to the Washington Wizards here because it feels like we've done like a 4-hour version of the Beltway Blitz here.
Yeah, we're hitting everything.
We talk a lot of Caps, talk a lot of Nats, talk about the Manders. Now we talk about the old DC family. And the Washington Wizards, I think, are in a very unique spot as we get geared up for this offseason. One, it's probably the most important offseason of this rebuild. And here's why.
Because they're going to get Cooper Flagg?
Well, we'll get to the NBA draft lottery coming up here in a second. If they don't end up with the top three pick in this draft, is that going to be tough? I think they're in a good spot, and it's the most important offseason for the reason you just mentioned. One, you get another chance to add a blue chip caliber prospect. But then two, building off what you were able to accomplish this past year, I think anybody that watched this group from February 1st on saw a different brand of basketball from the Washington Wizards. And I know, you know, they had multiple 15-game losing streaks. I know they took their lumps a lot, but I thought this group really improved a lot. And the defensive identity of this team, I think, is starting to, you know, come to the forefront here. When you bring in a Marcus Smart, when you bring in a Chris Middleton, guys that are known for their defense, you obviously get better in that category. Will Dawkins, the general manager of the Washington Wizards, spoke Wednesday about that Wizards' defensive identity moving forward.
And I think some people, when we drafted Keyshawn, didn't see him having the impact that he could potentially have defensively, but he really embraced that and got better throughout the year. Obviously, Bilal and Alex are think defense first, and the size, the length, the versatility, the ability to switch, it's kind of what we were looking for within our team. And again, we weren't where we needed to be defensively, but we have measures that we looked at. So you add the length, you add the switching, Keyshawn's block shots, Alex block shots. Last year we were 14th. This year we were 11th. So incremental gains there. But in terms of actual shot contests, we ranked 8th in the league. So we were forcing guys to take tough shots. And that's kind of what you're trying to do. I think last season, opponent 2-point field goal percentage, we were like 28th. This year we were 19th. That's a huge jump for us, especially with a young team. So we add a couple more young players. We get them a little bit more comfortable physical. Like, we're making that jump in the top half. So incrementally getting better on defense. And there's other things like rebounding. We were dead last year, moved up 5 spots. Like, we're going to continue to get better. But it's all about the focus and the mindset. And when we talked to the guys at the end of the season, they understood it. And they think defense first, which is important.
Wizards getting defensive. They're going to have to if they want to, you know, really establish themselves as a long-term playoff team. And I know we're a little bit of ways away from that. But, like, you have to have an identity and know that, hey, when I go play the Wizards each and every night, I know one thing's for certain, two things for sure. If shots aren't falling, if the whistle's not going their way, they're going to play hard and defend. Like, what I think they did this year was kind of establish that baseline culture of, hey, this is what Wizards basketball looks like when it's going well.
Yeah, they played much better, especially once they got those vets in there with Marcus Smart, Chris Middleton. They actually started winning too many games, in my opinion. They were playing much better basketball, playing much better defensively, and seeing that identity grow, because that, to me, has been the issue for the last couple of years, is defensively.
Like, yeah.
They've been able to score for the most part, but having guys buy in on the defensive end, I think that's truly the thing, buy-in, right, defensively, because
right.
that, to me, is the big thing. Like, anybody, you know, can play defense, even if you're not the most talented, because you just got to give effort. And this team showed that. They've got some good defenders. Keyshawn, I think, is going to be a really big part of their defensive identity in years to come. I think Alex Sarr, even though he's got some work to do on his offensive game, I think he's going to be able to play a really good defensive brand of basketball just because of his size and length, ability to guard out on the perimeter from time to time as well. And I think just seeing the guys really buy into that was encouraging. So hopefully they can build off of this season. If you can get a guy like a Cooper Flagg or someone like that in here, even he's built he's a good defender. He's bought in on the defensive end. So that, to me, is the main thing, because if you want to win in this league, you got to be bought in on that defensive side of the basketball.
Wizards have the NBA draft lottery coming up next month. Last year, they did really well for themselves, ending up with three first-round picks, including Keyshawn George out of Miami. Here's Will Dawkins on what Keyshawn provided last year for this group.
I think Keyshawn's evolution is a good story for young players. The way he started the season offensively, struggling. I think the first month of the season, he was shooting like 12% from three. But from February 1st on, it was 39% from three. Never got discouraged, never doubted himself. I think I talked to you guys a couple times. They were just like, hey, I thought he was going to be this offensive player. Like, don't rush the process. But he's got size. He's got versatility on offense. Defensively, his ranks were pretty impressive. Even when we sat down the other day, I was like, I didn't think you were going to be this level defender this early. And he just kind of laughed. But our evaluators were spot on early on him. They were, hey, you need to come see this guy. I was like, okay. Like, no, really, you need to come see this guy. Didn't play well. They're like, that's not who he is. Come back again. So we have really good, passionate evaluators who stayed on key. And we feel like we got pretty fortunate there. But defensively this year, effective field goal percentage, like the type of shots that the players take, 91st percentile across the NBA, not rookies. Like, that's high level. Blocks, 91st percentile. Like, deflections, 81st percentile. Like, the kid was very, very active, and steals a 75th percentile per position. So he was there, and you talked about the offensive stuff. I think the most telling stat or number we have for Keyshawn is he led all rookies in the NBA in on-off differential. So when he played, he has a positive impact on our team. Even when he has the ball or doesn't have the ball, whatever the role was, and that was throughout the entire season. So we got to see that growth towards the end offensively, but he's one of the hardest workers, and I'm not surprised that he had the finish that he had.
I get excited when Keyshawn George is brought up. First, everyone was calling him Keyshawn George till about January when he started knocking down shots. Will Dawkins talked about it. First month of the season, he shot 12%. 12% from the three-point line. It's crazy, right? Now that we're at the end of the season, when I stack up the Wizards young pups from Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Alex Sarr, Bub Carrington, even add A.J. Johnson into the mix, I think before the season I would have looked at Keyshawn George as the guy that probably had the least amount of upside. Now that the season's over, I think we have to re-rank our young Wizards in terms of who has the most promise an upside going forward, man, because Keyshawn George, what he did defensively this year, and, you know, Will Dawkins alluded to some of the metrics here, that's what you need in today's day and age. If you're going to beat a Boston eventually, if you're going to be competitive with a Knicks team eventually, if Giannis stays in Milwaukee, you need multiple wing defenders. That's the thing that matters to me.
Yeah, I think Keyshawn was a welcome surprise. You knew that he had some versatility, but he was kind of thought of as that third guy that wasn't necessarily going to make a huge impact, and maybe you see what happens there. And I think offensively, I was impressed with his game as the season went on. Can do a little bit of everything. Not exceptional at any one thing, but can do a little bit of everything. And to me, almost reminds me of what, you know, when they traded for Bub in that pick, you trade away Denny Avdija. He reminds me in a lot of ways what Denny could do. A little bit of a different offensive game than what Denny has, but can help you on the defensive end. I think maybe even a little more athletic than Denny. So I'm intrigued to see what his skill set can bring, and that's why, you know, you don't mind making a move like you did to move off Denny, because you bring in a guy like Keyshawn George that you can have for cheap for a little while and see if he can have the impact that Denny had on that cheaper contract, and I think he definitely can.
One of the more underrated parts of this Wizards season, and I'm going to pat myself on the back here because I feel like I was the only one here trying to defend the cat. Jordan Poole got punched in the face in front of all of America and then was dealt to Washington pretty much right after. Last year was tough for him, right? Moving across country, being in a different area, losing at the rate that he's never lost at in his NBA career. For him to bounce back this year the way that he did, career high in points, career high in field goal percentage, career high in three-point percentage, career high in assists and deflections, him impacting both ends of the floor I thought was really impactful. But the one thing that I wanted to continue to harp on, as I spent a fair amount of time in that locker room this year, he is the connector, he is the leader on this Wizards team, talking about Jordan Poole.
Yeah, we traded for Jordan for a reason, and we knew how talented he was. I would say the first half or first part of the season last year, like, he struggled, and I think we're all on record talking about that. But the second half of the year, he started playing like Jordan Poole. And as he got more comfortable through the summer, you got to see the year that he had this year. So he really emerged on the basketball court. BK trusted him with the ball, gave him opportunities. I think everyone knows that he had the career year in terms of points per game. He had the career year in three-point percentage, but I don't think enough people talk about he had a career year with steals. Like, he had a career year in blocks. He had a career year in assists. Like, he impacted both sides of the ball and got better. And that was the kind of development plan for him. And you got to let Jordan be Jordan. And I think Brian did a good job of that. But inside the locker room, he kind of took a lot of ownership of the environment here and took some of the young guys under his wing. And again, Chris and Marcus, when they got here, really helped him and see the game. Like, those are championship-level players, and he was one as well. So he felt good about the season he had, as he should feel good about the season he had. But Jordan Poole's a big-time player. Like, we knew what we were getting with Jordan.
I know everyone wants to trade him away. I think he's your best young asset right now. 25 years old, walking 20, 25-point-per-game score. Impacts both ends of the floor. You saw what he did defensively last year. The leadership thing to me stands out because it's a super young team. Their opening night lineup was the youngest in franchise history. They were the second youngest team all year long. His impact in the locker room, I think, is just as important as his impact on the floor. A Bub Carrington, a Keyshawn George, a Alex Orr, him and Bilal are like this, like they're locker mates. Like, I think he deserves a ton of credit for him being able to change his mentality and put team first in a difficult situation.
I think people forget how young he is, and so I think he's actually been a really good leader. I didn't necessarily believe that he was going to be, but I think he's been such a good leader for these young guys because he can relate to them while also still having a championship pedigree from his time in Golden State. So I think having that in the locker room is huge for these guys. And having a guy that they can depend on as a legitimate scorer. I mean, his ability to get a bucket is up there with just about anybody in the league. Honestly, when you go watch this dude in person, I don't know how anyone ever guards this guy. He's back
tough.
And forth, I mean, it's just, it's insane what he's able to do. So having that as a piece, I don't think he's a number one on a championship roster, but having him be a part of this organization to help some of these young guys along while still being a really good player on the floor, which was kind of slept on all throughout the season, his ability to score the basketball was huge. So, you know, we'll see what his long-term future is, but I didn't think that I would have been fine with him kind of being the vet for these young guys. I'm actually, after watching him this season, totally fine with him being the experienced vet in the room for, you know, Bilal and for Bub and these guys that are just coming into this team.
We'll talk about it a little bit more in the next segment, but, like, if you had to inject me with truth serum right now, I'm saying he's here for the long term. 25 years old, doing the things that he can do offensively is huge. You mentioned the veteran leadership. When they traded for Marcus Smart at the trade deadline, that to me was like the move that signified, hey, you know, we're getting serious about this rebuild. We're bringing in a guy that's going to help our culture. Here's Will Dawkins talking about the impact of Marcus Smart.
When Marcus first got here, we talked about, hey, I'm very familiar with you. Like, I lived in Oklahoma when you were at Oklahoma State. I saw you a ton. I know what you're about. I still got family in Massachusetts that are huge Marcus Smart fans just for how you play the game. And his time in Memphis wasn't what he thought it was going to be. Not his fault, not Memphis's fault. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. And we told him, I want you to be you. I want you to kind of help yourself get back to being yourself and finding your joy. And I think he found that here. He told us that. And obviously he played really well, shot the ball really well, defended. But I said, we also need you to play the role of someone who can uplift people. And he made me better. He definitely elevated the staff and just how we scout and game plan. And he really helped all of our players. It's not just Alex and Bob and the young guys. He made Jordan better. Like, Jordan's looking to his right. I got Marcus Smart with me. Like, I can do a little bit more. So the impact he had on the organization in the short amount of time he was here, and even when he injured the finger again at the end of the season, he was bringing a lot of value inside the locker room and even in the timeouts. So for a defensive player like Marcus Smart, who is elite and has been elite for a long time, to see some defensive signs in Alex Sarr tells us a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And you got to think about it, right? When you're rebuilding like this and you're tearing things down to the studs, how rare is it to get two stud veterans in your locker room like a Chris Middleton, like a Marcus Smart? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Like, this is the perfect situation right now. And I know we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, Toby, and we were being funny. I just feel like they're further ahead. They're in a better spot in their rebuild than I anticipated when the season started. I didn't expect this growth from the young pups the way that they got it. I didn't expect the second half of the season to look the way that it did. I'll be fully, totally honest and transparent. I was ready to fire Brian Keefe after January 1st because the effort wasn't there. They were getting blown out every night. But since February 1st, since the trade deadline when they acquired the veterans and they started to establish an identity, they have played a hell of a lot better. A lot more to get to. About 40 minutes left to go in the program. Be caller number 9 right now to 800-636-1067 to win a pair of tickets to Game 1 for the 2025 playoffs with your Washington Capitals. Monday, April the 21st versus Montreal at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. I'm baby. One more time. I'm doing my best J.P. Finley impersonation where I sing the lyrics bad. Coming back from break. And don't announce the show. B. Mitch and Finley, you're on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. But on Willingham, Toby Altizer just sitting in for the fellas. B. Mitch back on Monday with our guy Toby. It's a winning weekend here on The Fan. Keep it locked on The Fan all afternoon long for your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to go see the Washington Capitals in Game 1 of their first-round playoff series. Every hour, 20 minutes past the hour, up until 5:20, you'll get the opportunity to win. Your next chance to win comes up at 2:20 during Grant and Danny. But we do have another winner, and we're going to keep the tradition going. William in Silver Spring. Have all of our winners been from Montgomery County today?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, William? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good now that I got some...
Well, now that you got some free tickets, well, since you're saving money on the tickets, go buy a new damn phone, Will. Your phone's crapping out.
Yeah, it keeps switching over to my truck. Sorry about that.
Now you're all good, brother. This is your first Caps game of the season. How you living when it comes to the Caps?
This is be my second game of the season.
Okay. What game did you go to earlier?
Was the one where they played Detroit, I believe, the first time they played Detroit at home.
Did they win?
They did win.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, if they didn't win, then maybe we need to work something out here.
Get your ticket transferred over to a loved one, you know. For sure.
Enjoy the game, man.
For sure, man. Appreciate you guys. That's William in Silver Spring. Shout out to William, man. You know, Toby, I am actually a Washington Capitals virgin. I have never been to a Caps game.
I thought
game.
You went a couple weeks ago.
So Chase Hughes invited me to go see the Caps, and then I went to Kenny's Sub Shop. And I got a steak and cheese, and that steak and cheese devoured my stomach.
Hold on.
That's too much.
And I was in the gutter.
You had a chance to go see Ovi score.
I know.
During the gold chase, and you let a steak and cheese take you
out? Now, to my credit, he didn't score that game.
Okay. But still,
doesn't matter. There was a chance he could have scored.
I know.
Yeah,
I know. You know how it
gets
when the BGs
choosing,
get the BGing. You know how it goes.
Choosing yeah. what? What's it like, Jeff?
You choosing the Nets over the Caps game that time?
I didn't have any crazy. Way into the Caps game.
Rumor has it you did.
You are Toby
anyway.
Altizer.
Yeah, you're TA.
Remember that.
The youngest in charge, Rice Cube.
Yeah, I remember that I'm Toby Altizer, not JP Finley. I can't just waltz wherever I want.
Boo, bro, you already. I'm not messing with
you're
you.
Underselling, you're underselling.
Selling yourself, yeah.
How famous you are. And it's, I'm actually, not it's actually bothering me.
I'm not famous.
As someone that gets called Darius by callers. So clearly there are levels to
yeah,
this.
Yeah, to be fair, I have not been called Darius
yeah,
yet. So,
so. There we go. There we go. We're going to continue the conversation on the Washington Wizards. I want to take some calls on this. Toby, I'll get your thoughts on this first when we go out to the calls. We're in a spot right now. I said it in the last segment. This is the most important offseason, in my opinion, of their rebuild because this is the best draft class they're going to get to pick from, it feels like, in the next couple of years.
Some might disagree.
Oh, yeah. Next year's class is interesting with DeBansta and Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the lottery coming up next month, if they don't land a top three pick in this draft, would you consider what they're doing right now to be all for nothing?
No.
Is it worth tanking if you don't end up with the pick?
There's nothing they can do about the lottery. They've done their job. I think that what the Wizards did this year is exactly what they should have been doing years ago, where they drafted a bunch of young guys last year and they played the young guys. And so not only did you accomplish the feat of being a bottom three team where you have the best odds that yeah. you can possibly have of getting the number one overall pick and in turn Cooper Flagg, but you also got Bilal, you got Bub, you got Sarr,
but none of
you
those
got
guys,
Keyshawn.
None of those guys are that difference-making prospect.
I understand that, but you got them to play.
Yeah.
You got them to play. Like, I don't know that you can view it as a disappointment because what the heck could they do elsewise? Like, they did their job to be at the bottom. Now it's up to the NBA not to cheat
yeah.
and to give them a fair chance, right? Like, make sure that they get a fair chance. If they don't win the lottery, it's not their fault. They did their best job that they possibly could. So I like what
but
the Wizards have done.
Do you realize if, like, they don't win the lottery and they don't get the top talent, they're not going to get better?
I understand
they're
that, but
they're
going to be
nothing, a middling team.
But what can they do about that? They did as best they could of being as bad as they could while still developing young talent. What else can they do? I understand I am going to be so frustrated if they don't get a top three pick. And specifically, I'm going to be frustrated regardless if they don't get a top pick.
This is where
because
it gets...
But they did what they were supposed to do.
Talk about losing.
Yeah, it's now in their hand. It's now in the NBA's hands, not in their hands.
So I'm glad that you brought that up. They did do what they were supposed to do in the second half of the season. That first half of the season, you can flush it down the toilet. But the second half of the season, post-February 1st, I think they lost, which is important for your lottery odds. And they also got better. So I agree with that wholeheartedly. Here's the dilemma that I think they could possibly have coming up in the lottery. If you don't get the number one overall pick, clearly the best case scenario for this group is Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, absolutely.
The next best scenario for them is Ace Bailey. The third best scenario is Dylan Harper. The Dylan Harper thing is interesting to me because, one, based off of the comment that his father made under David Aldridge's post, I'm not sure that they trust the Wizards front office. Not fair. Totally being, you know, objective with this. The old Wizards front office, you know, is susceptible to the jabs and the barbs about not knowing how to run a basketball organization. But Will Dawkins, Mike Winger, Travis Schlenk, have done yeoman's work since they've gotten here to D.C. This is the tough part to me. Say you land on the third pick in the draft, and it's Cooper Flagg 1, it's Ace Bailey 2. Knowing what you got from Bub Carrington and Jordan Poole this year, they played well enough to me, Toby, to where I can make an argument, hey, maybe that's your backcourt of the future. Do you pass on Dylan Harper, or do you still select Dylan Harper knowing what you have right now in your backcourt?
Best
I would
player
say the
available.
Answer is probably no.
Best player available. I really don't care what position it is. Best player available because, like you said earlier, I don't think they have a superstar on this team right now. In order to win championships in the NBA, you need a superstar. So if you think Dylan Harper can be a superstar, you take Dylan Harper regardless of what you have in-house because he's going to ultimately take a job. And also, I don't mind having Poole and Bub, but one of them can slide to the bench pretty easily and become your sixth man. So to me, it does not matter where you pick. You take best player available, guy that you think can turn into a superstar, guy that you can develop, whether it turns out hopefully to be Cooper Flagg, or if it's Ace Bailey, or if it's Dylan Harper, or if it's VJ Edgecombe, whoever it ends up being, whoever you think can turn into a superstar, because that's what this team needs. That's what you need in the NBA. They don't have it. The best way to acquire it is through the draft or through trading assets, which they have. They have cap space. They have assets. So if that's something that comes available in the offseason at some point, they could maybe make a move and do something like that. But for right now, through the draft, you just draft the highest ceiling guy that you can find and hope that you can develop him into a superstar.
So real quick here, speaking of the lottery, the Wizards are slated to have a top six pick in this draft. They cannot pick lower than sixth because of where they finished. They have a chance to have a second first-round pick as well. If Memphis wins tonight in the play-in game and becomes the eighth seed in the Western Conference, Washington would get their first-round pick. If Memphis loses, that conveys into a second-round pick next year or the year after because it is top 14 protected.
Go Grizzlies.
So we are 100% rooting for the Grizzlies tonight. And guess what? I don't know if you saw this. Ja Morant, all of a sudden, questionable. Game time decision with an ankle.
Well, it sounds like he's going to play, right? It's kind of gone back and forth. It sounded like he wasn't. Then yesterday, it sounded like he was.
If you're Memphis, why would you want him to play? You need the pick, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, you have an opportunity to get into the playoffs. You have one of the best players in the league. You have a chance to maybe go on a run. But at the same point,
I want to know,
are they going to actually win the NBA Finals? Probably not.
Probably not. But what do you do here if you're the Wizards? This is why it gets tough when you're rebuilding and tanking. If you don't end up with a top three pick, let's just say, worst comes to worst, you fall to number six. Damn.
I mean,
you tanked for nothing. That's how I look at it, man.
But they didn't tank for nothing. Because even if they don't get the draft pick, they got valuable playing time for Alex Sarr, for Bub Carrington, for Keyshawn George on a team that had nothing to play for. You know, if you're going to draft guys, this is how you should do it. It wasn't something like they threw those guys out there, and as soon as Alex Sarr missed a three, it wasn't, come on back, bud. Sit on the bench next to me. It was, keep shooting, guy. Keep going. Keep going. Let's get better. And yes, part of the reason they look better in the second half was getting a Marcus Smart, getting a Chris Middleton in there. It was also because Bub Carrington had played 40-plus games already and was understanding the NBA. It's because Alex Sarr had played. It's because these guys got opportunities to play. So if you're going to tank, this is the correct way to do it, way that they've done it specifically this year.
I hear that, but I'm looking at it like, yo, how do you get over the hump? You draft
franchise-altering
talent. You're not, like, VJ Edgecombe probably is not that, right? Jeremiah Fears out of Oklahoma is probably not that. Con Knipple's not that. Derek Queen is not that. That's my whole thing with this, the lottery odds. Like,
but
it's a very difficult, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I mean, but this is the way to do it, right? Like, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm missing what you're trying to say here, because to me, they weren't going to be able to.
I would feel sick to my concrete. I would be sick to my stomach if they don't end up with the top three pick.
Yeah, we're all going to be frustrated because that would be getting screwed by the NBA, right? Like in the draft lottery odds, right? Like that's how it is. Like there's nothing that they can do about it. I think the way that they've gone about it is appropriate. Like this is what you have to do. And by the way, if for whatever reason they end up picking fifth or sixth, they should do it again. And if the guys that are young find a way to win games, then okay, I live with the fact that they hurt their odds. But if it's the same thing again where you don't end up with Flagg or Bailey or Harper or Edgecombe or whoever you view as a top dude, you do it again next year with the young guys, let them play, and you lose basketball games and hope that you get one of the Boozers or you get someone, DeBanza, whoever it is, as a stud in the next year's draft. You need a superstar.
Yes, that's my whole point here.
And you got to go any way to find it. And for the Wizards, the best way to do it, because you're probably not signing someone in free agency.
No.
Because chances are you're not going to be able to trade for some superstar that's disgruntled somewhere, because why would they want to come play in D.C. right now? You have to draft this dude, so they're going about it the correct way, and now it's up to the lottery to fall your way.
It's tough relying on ping pong balls to like determine your fate. Like, that's the tough part for me. And I feel like with what they have already, a guard is not really what's needed here to me. Now, I get it. Dylan Harper could end up being
best player, man.
It doesn't matter.
I love Bob Carrington. I love Jordan Poole. If Dylan Harper can be a superstar, that should not stop you from drafting it. You draft the best player, and you'll figure it out. You draft the best player that can be a superstar, doesn't matter what position, and you see what happens.
Make sure you keep it locked on the Fan all afternoon long. We're giving away Caps Game 1 tickets today, every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. Your next chance to win coming up in about 40 minutes, 2:20 on Grant and Danny. We're back with you next. One final segment to go. B. Mitch and Finley here on 106.7 The Fan. Linnell Willingham, Toby Altizer taking you up to 2 o'clock. Grant and Danny will take you on your afternoon drive home. Make sure you keep it locked on the Fan all afternoon long as we continue to give away Caps Game 1 tickets today, every hour at 20 minutes past the hour, up until 5:20. Your next chance to win, coming up at 2:20 on Grant and Danny. Speaking of the Washington Capitals, Toby, big game coming up Monday night. We opened up the show having the discussion of should it be Charlie Lindgren or Logan Thompson in net. Has your mind changed at all throughout the show, or are you still rolling with
Chucky?
Rolling with Chucky.
Chucky, just because, to me, you roll with the guy that's been in net, that has game reps under his belt the last couple of weeks. Now, at some point, you know, the counter argument is, you know, Logan Thompson has to be back in net. He is my goalie, right?
One of the best tenders in all of the NHL.
At some point, he has to play, and if you end up in a hole, regardless, like, I just think that you roll with the guy who's been in net. He hasn't necessarily been hot. You can't even say that, but he's been in net, has some reps. It's just tough for me to throw in Logan Thompson game one and expect him to be Logan Thompson we saw all throughout the season. But I trust Coach Carbs. I really do. I think he understands what's going on. If he trusts Logan Thompson to go in there game one, so do I.
Yeah, the more important thing, I think, in this series and throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs for this Caps team, will their physicality wane? Right? Like, we know that they're going to be able to score with the best of them. They've had major issues defensively over the past 2-3 weeks as they've been in pursuit of Ovi's, you know, goal-scoring record. The defense and the physicality, to me, is the other metric I'm looking at for this group. Like, will they come out and be the aggressor, right, on Monday night? I think that's the huge thing. I mentioned Tom Wilson earlier in the show. Like, that is my X factor. That is my key for this entire Stanley Cup playoff run.
Yeah, I think
he set the tone? Can he score goals after scoring 33 this year?
And specifically in this series, when you have a fast Canadiens team, mm-hmm. right, where they're going to try and get up and down the ice, they're smaller than you, but they're quicker than you, but you're more physical, try to pound them into submission, yeah. Honestly. Like, with the physicality that you have, a couple nights ago when there was nothing going and Ovi came out in the second period and just hit everyone mauling that was on people. Skates, like, have some of that physicality. Pound them into submission. Get back to playing the hockey that we saw this team play, because this team, when they're rolling, is the best team in hockey, in
clearly,
my opinion,
yes.
When they're rolling. But it's been a little while since we've seen it. We've seen stretches, maybe a period here or there, but last month or so has not been as good. But it'd be interesting to see if they can find a rhythm again. I think they can get by just about anybody in these playoffs. But got to start with the Canadiens. Got to get past this team. This is, like, I hate doing the, you know, they got to do that. You got to win this series.
Yeah.
Top seed in the Eastern Conference. Been a really, really cool season. Been a lot of fun. But you don't want to look back on this years from now and be like, well, the Ovi goal chase was awesome, but it kind of derailed the season also.
You don't want that
to be the case.
That would stick. Our Caps coverage presented by Ace Computers. Ace Computers proudly recommends Windows 11 Pro for the U.S. military. Made in America. Check out acecomputers.com. Now, breaking news that we just got into the program before we get out of here. Tonight's Nats game officially postponed. Tomorrow's game pushed back an hour to 4:10 Eastern time. And we now have a Sunday afternoon doubleheader, 3:10 and 8:10. So is it, like, really snowing?
Oh, yeah, it's snowing,
like,
out
hard
there
in Colorado right now?
Really fickle weather out there. Yesterday it was in the 70s. Today it's snowing.
That's, my grandmother will call that pneumonia weather.
It's snowing pretty good out there in Colorado, so they're not going to be playing tonight. Not surprised at all. It's kind of seemed like that was going to be the case. So that'll be interesting to see able to do.
Does that change the pitching schedule or no?
No.
We were set to get a Big Mac start tonight, weren't we?
Yeah, I would think that he still goes tomorrow, and then you push everyone back a day. I'm interested what they're going to do. You get an extra guy for that doubleheader on Sunday.
Right.
Maybe they can bring in another arm. Maybe they push back someone else to start and bring up someone for the minor leagues, but I don't know who that is. Like, their best option for that would have been Shinosuke Agasawara, the Japanese pitcher they brought over.
He got toe up during spring training.
Well, he's not been great. He's been okay in AAA, but he's also on the injury list right now with a what is that?
Oblique?
Yeah, oblique injury. So he can't come up. Yeah, there you go. So interested to see what they do, but they need to win at least 2 or 3. I would be disappointed, frankly, if they don't sweep this team because they're not any good. So not going to play tonight, though. It's snowy. Maybe. You know what, Linnell? It couldn't cool down the offense any more than it already was cooled down.
I'm about to say, hot day.
Hopefully the bats can maybe melt some of that snow tomorrow.
For sure. What you got planned this weekend, man?
I am going to head over to the most beautiful ballpark in America in a couple of minutes.
Ballpark at Camden Yards?
I'm going to go to Camden Yards because I figured there wasn't any Nats baseball to watch tonight. I'll go watch some O's and Reds tonight. I'm excited to see Ellie De La Cruz.
Oh, I was about to say, Ellie's coming.
Oh, yeah. So,
somebody worth seeing.
Yeah, watching some good baseball at Camden Yards tonight. You know, filling in for JP, figured I got to do the JP Finley and go hang out at Camden.
You know, JP loves Camden. No, JP loves
Have you been there before?
I have not. I've been to...
Have you been to Nats Park?
Yes. Yes, I have. Honestly, though, first time I went to Nats Park was because of work. Thank you to all of you all who participated in the chat. Thank you to all of you who called in on the phones. Thank you to Brian, White Brian, Landfill, Jeff. Appreciate you all. Keep it locked on the fan all afternoon long. As I mentioned, coming up at 2:20, your next opportunity to win a pair of Caps tickets.